Welcome to Dixon Real Estate Vibes. If you want to know about the local market, this is the place to be. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this vibe with one of our local brokers. What's up, everybody? Welcome to a new segment that we're starting here, kind of a real estate chat, Dixon Real Estate Chat. I haven't quite figured out what I'm going to name it yet. Maybe Real Estate Power Half Hour or something like that. We're just going to do some kind of quick episodes with some different realtors around town and get a feel for kind of who they are and you know, what they do and maybe what they niche in, and the Dixon real estate market in general. You know, as we all know, this it's pretty sparse out there at the moment as far as availability goes, but there's a high demand as well too to move to Dixon, as we've kind of covered in some previous episodes. So today I have brought in some good friends of mine, Miss Debbie Spurlock and Ashley McVoy. I've known them for a while now, and they just branched out and started their own brokerage, Redbird Realty, here in Dixon. So I've brought them on for this kind of pilot episode to really just break us in on the Dixon market, where there's been a lot of chat around kind of what's going on. So I figured I'd kind of hone in on that for anybody interested and kind of take it from there. Not sure how often I'm going to do this. I think I maybe mentioned twice a month last episode. I may do once a month, just kind of depending on how much information is talked about, you know, in the episodes, and make sure we get some good diversity in there. So welcome to the show, guys. I appreciate you taking the time, and hopefully we'll have some good information here. So really just kind of want to get started, just let everybody know who you guys are and kind of how you got your start in real estate and how you got to be kind of where you are now, just kind of briefly to get us started.
Hi, thank you for having us. My name is Debbie Spurlock, and I recently opened Redbird Realty. I had worked at another brokerage for about 27 years, 20 as a staff person there, and then the last 7 years selling. So I had a couple of kids that got their license, Ashley and Justin, and we've been toying with the idea for a couple of years. And we did a lot of research. We talked to a lot of brokerages about working for them, and we just decided that it just made sense for us to do our own. So we opened up Redbird in January, the latter part of January, and we have... I am licensed, Justin and Ashley are all licensed, so it's the three of us right now.
Cool. I've been selling real estate for about a year. I was a bartender for a long time, kind of wasn't sure what I wanted to do, and then, you know, the pandemic hit and it just became different, and so it was actually the perfect time for me to get in. And so now I've been doing it for about a year, and I have my mom, and I love it.
Cool. So you've been in it for quite some time now, and obviously you've learned quite a bit from her. And when Debbie said Justin, that is the same Justin that was on the podcast, the second one or the third one, something like that. So I've pretty much had the entire Spurlock family on the podcast, except for Mr. Spurlock, and that would be an interesting episode to say the least, for sure. But so Ashley, you going from bartending, I guess you were at the Fontenelle, right? Yeah, and that closed down. It's under new ownership right now,
Yeah, so they sold a portion of it, like 75%. To some investors from Chicago.
Cool.
And they came in and, you know, decided to go ahead and close it down. And we were given they took care of me, but I didn't have long. You know, it was like they gave us 3 or 4 days and then that was it. And so I had to figure out something to do and quick.
Sure, absolutely. Well, Ashley's been my wife's best friend for a long time. And so we obviously know each other pretty well, and we would go visit her out there, and you know, kind of her time there, we noticed, you know, she kind of moved up in the ranks a little bit and was able to kind of run the bar and help kind of build the bar menu, and had some regulars that loved her and stuff. So obviously a bubbly personality, and you know, real estate was a good fit, you know, ease of entrance to do that, so long as you can pass the tests and You know, obviously had a great mentor as well too, somebody that's pretty veteran in the market. And so it was kind of, it was a good step for her. And I mean, obviously, so you jumped right into it, right into Redbird, right? Or do, who did no, you work I for worked, another brokerage before that, right?
Mm-hmm, okay. For a year.
Okay,
and
that's
then,
right.
We've been there, what, like 2 months?
Okay.
About 2 months.
And where's y'all's office at?
It's 318 East College Street.
Okay. So over there, kind of
there's an office in there.
Behind Bill's Tire, that, mm-hmm. that, yeah, that mm-hmm. location over yeah. there.
We're Suite cool. 106.
Cool, cool. So Debbie, I guess to you really, just to, from your standpoint of start to where you are now, just maybe kind of touch on a couple things that, you know, Ashley's obviously in the shoes that you were in 27 years ago. So, you know, kind of maybe touch on a few things that, you know, three or four things that you've kind of learned along the way to build that confidence, to eventually do what you're doing now and go out and start your own brokerage.
Yes, I would. I mean, looking back, I think I was very motivated because I left a job of getting a check every week for 20 years. So I was very motivated because I had to pay my bills. So looking back, you have to put the work in. It is not easy to be a realtor. You work for a long time before you get that first paycheck. And it's really, you have to set your own limits, but it's a 24/7 job when you first start. It just, it was for me. I worked constantly mm-hmm. trying to get started. Getting started is hard, but it's not too hard. You can do it.
Sure.
Anybody that wants to do it can do it, but it is not easy and you got to put the time in.
Sure.
So I think if you put 40 hours a week in, like you would a regular job, you can do it, but you got to do the right things too.
Sure.
You know, you got to get out there and you got to ask for the business and you've got to know what you're doing. You've
sure.
got to know the market. You got to know what you're talking about. So, you know, I had a lot of people that helped me. And I had a great setup to learn. So I got a really good training, I feel like,
cool.
before I jumped on my own. And Ashley was with me all last year. And actually the year before, she worked about 6 months. She passed the test, but we didn't activate her license until January.
Okay.
I kind of worked like as her assistant because, you know, when you take the class, they don't teach you how to write an offer and work contracts and negotiate. They don't teach you any of that. You have to, someone needs to show you.
Sure.
So I'm grateful that I had that 6 months to kind of work under her first and, you know, and then I had another year too. So
yeah, it's something.
It's a lot.
Same thing with the insurance test as well too. Like you don't learn anything really. You just pass the test, you know, and as trivial as that may seem, you know, it's a fact, but, you pass the test, then kind of the sky's the mm-hmm. limit at that point. And, stuff like that. So, I guess kind of in your mind's eye, At what point, really, in the past several years, did the market become just kind of dense at some point? You know, where was that kind of turning point in Dixon as far as, you know, what was going on? And I think last numbers I heard, and y'all can correct me, it was just a couple weeks ago, is that there was only like 34 or 35 houses really listed on the market, you know, in Dixon County. So obviously that's tight.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I did not pull that before I came, but that's probably right. Our inventory is so
sure.
low.
Sure.
It is, you know, when I started selling 7 years ago, it is just amazing. The one house I sold for $150. Then the next year, exactly a year, it sold for $179.9. Then the next year it resold. I'm not sure why the house kept reselling, but it was like $229. And that was a couple of years ago. It's
sure.
even worse now. I
sure.
mean, and for a little while it was like anything under 200 was just, it was hard. But now I can say all price ranges are multiple offers, a lot of them. Even we contracted on a house last year, Spencer Mill Road, $580,000. So you think, okay, multiple offers.
Sure.
Had to pay over asking. Wow. And ask for nothing to get it.
Sure.
So, you know, we closed on a house last week that was listed for $329,000 and it sold for $345,500. Asked for nothing, multiple offers. And I will say that house appraised for a little bit higher than that.
Okay.
So, but it's a tough market right now for a buyer. You have to, you know, you have to be quick. If you like that house, don't go home and sleep on it because somebody else will write an offer.
Sure.
And don't wait because I had a listing on the market last year. It was a little on the high end. It was in Waverly. It did not sell. We reduced it $10,000. It was still a little bit on the high side. But we have so many people wanting that same house. It's under contract. But the minute it went under contract, you know, everybody wanted it. And so it's just a different market right now.
Absolutely. You know, that's kind of where we're at now as far as pricing and availability goes. And so I guess kind of to that point is if someone was looking to move to Dixon, you know, where is the market at as far as kind of the bottom end house you're seeing? I mean, is it kind of in the 250 range and up, or are you seeing kind of a lot of starter homes maybe coming up at all, or is it all over the board?
Well, it's probably all over the board. You know, to me, a starter home right now is right around the 199. 200, where before starter home was 120,
sure,
or 100 even. It's really hard to get a livable home that's financeable,
sure,
for 150 right now.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
So, you know, I hate to say that, but that's the truth. It's hard to get something that's livable, that's financeable for 150 now. I would say if you could get approved for about 220 or, you know, around that range, your options are going to be better. There's still some stuff that's been on the market this past week that was 175. And I know we have something coming soon that's going to be 199. So, you know, we got things in that area, but you have to
compete. If you're a buyer, those houses, number one, don't come every day. And right, there's a lot of buyers in that price range because it's your lower price range. And you got to write a good offer. It's, you know, if you're going to be in multiple offers, you need to have that $6,000 or $7,000 to pay your own closing if you really want to win.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard for a first-time homeowner. I mean, who has that sitting around, you
sure
know, especially if it's your first home. So that's some of what we run into, too.
So, yeah, I mean, it kind of, as always, especially, you know, more now than ever, kind of cash is kind of king in this whole situation, really, if you can kind of come in and, you know, maybe get an easy financing deal, or like you said, pay some closing costs or whatever it may be. You may be more likely to kind of win that contract on that house versus having to get, you know, 0% down and a lot of red tape and stuff like that as well, too.
Or even ask for half. If you can't do all your closing, only ask for half, because then you're not asking for all of it. I don't know. You
sure
do got to get creative, though, because
really?
And, you know, part of the problem is sellers are pricing it at the very top.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they don't want to do anything either.
Yeah. Mm. And you can't add the closing costs before. If it's priced where it'll praise, you can add your closing to the top. So the seller gets what they're asking and the buyer gets their closing paid. However, we've got them priced to the top. In a lot of cases, you can't go over. It
sure
won't appraise.
Sure.
So it's a tough
it's a
market.
Finicky market for sure. Has,
yeah.
And this will kind of lead into my next point, but how has, you know, this, you know, whatever we may call it, this COVID ordeal, have you seen any kind of pressure on that, or have things kind of just moved right along?
I feel
along?
Like that's what made it go crazy.
Yes,
don't you?
I think when COVID hit, we were still busy. Then we personally went through a slow time, and then about June It blew up. And it's just, I think people stayed in their homes and they want a bigger home or they want a swimming pool because they couldn't do anything last summer.
Home gyms, a place to homeschool.
Oh, wow.
People are, I feel like the needs are a little more different.
Sure.
Maybe even odd, but because so many people are spending all their time at home, you know, and then their interest rates are lower now too.
Okay.
So that's true. That's another thing.
So there's just a lot of factors in place.
There's so many reasons to buy, but there's nothing to buy.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. You kind of, didn't know what you had until you lost it kind of thing through this whole COVID. That's absolutely right. So I didn't even think about that as far as, people spending more time in their homes or having to find alternative activities, you know, at the house or close around to their house to, keep their sanity per se. And, that's really interesting to know that, I guess, you know, different types of home amenities really to kind of keep themselves.
I've been calling them quarantine projects.
Okay.
I love seeing them, but yeah, people are doing a lot. They couldn't go to the gym, so they made one in their home. And a lot of people decided to homeschool. So they took their extra family room and that's where they homeschool. You know, it's just, it's a little different.
Sure. And working from home. How many people are working from home?
They need an office. Yeah. It's like people's needs are changing because they're having to be at home so much.
Sure. And are the houses kind of in the Dixon area, even though there's not much? And obviously they're selling fast. So I guess Dixon can kind of accommodate with what they've got, you know, on the market for these buyers, it seems like.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to discourage any buyer at all.
Sure.
You know, if you're looking for a home, good for you. That's, home ownership is awesome. But, you know, get pre-approved.
Sure.
And
that way, when you do find something you like, you can jump on it and not be like, okay, well, I need to figure out what bank I want to go through or what lender I want to choose. And it takes a lot, not a lot, but it takes a little bit of time to get all your documents in to even know how much you can shop for.
Sure, sure. You got to get everything kind of to the starting line, really, before you kind of take that next step.
And now, because one thing that we're seeing a lot is if, especially multiple offers or anything like that, if you send in an offer, they want a pre-approval letter with it.
Yes, yes.
Because the market's just hot, and you need to be able to prove your financing in the beginning.
Sure. Already go ahead and have that taken care of.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I want to say, like, with the market the way it is, I still don't want people to think they can never get a house, because you can. We close on them every day.
Sure.
And we do find our buyers' homes. It just takes a little bit longer sometimes.
Sure.
You know, some of them luck up and they get what they want, and some of them look for a long time, but they finally get what they want.
Sure.
So.
Well, that's nice that they'll kind of wait around too, especially for this area, that they know they want to be here. And they're kind of willing to be patient about the whole process, knowing kind of the situation of everything. And, really knowing kind of what they want is key too, because it makes it easier for you guys. So kind of to that point, I've been hearing a lot from some different people, realtors and not, kind of some local business owners, and just driving around town and seeing different tags. So, from your perspective, where are you seeing, not necessarily inside Dixon County, obviously there's some buyers there as well, but are you seeing kind of a big influx from out-of-town buyers trying to come to Dixon?
Lots of out-of-towners are coming in.
Okay.
And that's where our locals are getting the competition. These people from out of state are coming here and they can get more for their money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they like a lot of things about, even though we think our taxes are high here, they don't. You know, our schools, our college, they're coming for multiple reasons. I had a couple that moved here from California and we closed on their home a couple weeks ago, and he came for job.
Okay.
You know, so that was job related. Another couple from California closed back in the summer, and that was job too. I've had some from other states come for retirement, you know, so it's all different reasons.
Another one is college tuition.
Oh, wow.
Is a lot cheaper.
Okay.
Here, we had a client say that he could send all of his kids to college in Tennessee cheaper, all of them cheaper than one of them in California.
Oh, wow.
So it's like a no-brainer. Why would you not? I mean, if you can give your kids a better life.
Well, yeah, and I mean, just look at this. Yeah, I mean, and just look at the state of California in general. You know, I mean, there's a mass exodus going on right there, and you know, I was talking about it yesterday too.
It's not just there, though. It's other places too.
New York.
And I have a client right now from Rhode Island.
Yeah.
I don't even know how she ended up here.
Sure. Sure. I mean, it's just one of those things, you know. It's kind of, you know, and it's funny you mentioned the retirement thing. So the chamber several years ago, before Corey took over. They implemented, and I guess it's still going. I haven't heard much about it. This Retire Tennessee mm-hmm. program. Mm-hmm. It's a paid program that, you know, comes with some marketing and some convention type activity and whatnot, to where the chamber, in essence, promotes and this association promotes Dixon as a place to retire. And again, yesterday I was talking to Kelly about that. As far as, you know, Dixon kind of meets that full broad spectrum of, if you want to come here and start and raise a family, all the way to if you want to live out, you know, the rest of your life here, you know, Dixon can kind of fit those needs. So I guess to kind of piggyback off of what you were just saying, so these buyers coming from out of town, or you know, coming for jobs or just to get the hell out, or schooling or whatever it may be, I'd like to kind of hone in on the jobs aspect, because I think that's a huge proponent and variable in the entire situation, as far as conversations I've had with other people before. We're getting people that want to move here, obviously, and if they do, or when they do plant their roots, are they staying in Dixon for the amenities, for jobs, or are they part of, I mean, Dixon right now is kind of at a 50-50 split as far as that kind of refuels itself. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I think it's a little bit below 50%, but Dixon's population will leave Dixon County to go work, but there's also another 50% that kind of comes in from other different counties for these factory jobs or whatever it may be. So are these buyers that you're from out of town coming, are they working in Dixon, or do they kind of do their own thing, or are they going to Nashville, or how does that look?
I would say the last two out of state people work in Nashville.
Okay.
So, and Dixon, I think they chose Dixon, because of this, it's still a small town.
Sure.
Yeah. You know?
Sure.
We still got the small town. But we still got everything we need here.
And you're, you know what, less than an hour from Nashville. So
are there any issues, really, that, you know, that you may or may not close the deal? I mean, you can kind of take it both ways as far as, you know, whether it be quality of home in Dixon, or, like I said, it's not, because somebody moving from California is obviously used to, unless they're from, you know, the countryside or whatever it may be, maybe used to a little more pampered type lifestyle or a little more amenities or something like that. Are they, is there any resistance or hesitation to kind of what Dixon can provide, or are they pretty much just comfortable and just move the hell on in?
The two families from California, they loved it here.
Cool.
They did not feel like they got less of a home.
Okay.
At all, I don't think.
Okay.
I feel like they felt like they got a better home here. So that's my feeling from the last couple.
Cool.
So,
and I'm sure that their house they sold in California, hell, they probably made a killing off of it and came in here and just thought it was sunshine
quick,
and rainbows.
Like, I think 30,000 over asking.
Wow.
They had like 7 or 8 offers.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so that market's still good there too.
And are their kids, I mean, these people that move in that have families, you know, are their kids going to school here, or are they, what's going on with
that's
that?
That's a good question. These two particular, I don't mean to keep picking on them, but I homeschool both.
Okay.
That so seems far, to kind of be
not a
big
that
trend.
They
won't change.
Sure.
Because our public schools are different.
Sure.
Here.
Sure.
And you know, so I don't. But they, as far as I know, they're both homeschooling.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I kind of see a big trend that way as well too. So. Okay, so kind of to pivot a little bit on that, as far as, so you've got these buyers coming in. If you partner up with a seller, you know, obviously it, from our conversation, it seems that the process within itself is extremely competitive. You know, there's got to be some real specific things in place or else somebody will come in with a better offer kind of deal. What advice would you give to somebody selling as far as their house and what they've got to do or what they should do? And I know we were kind of talking a little bit before we recorded, but, you know, if somebody was thinking, hey, the market's hot, you know, my kids are out of the house, I may want to downsize or whatever it may be. You know, what are a few things that you may advise them to do, you know, when they partner with you guys in order to kind of get it market ready?
I would tell them cash in. If you're even thinking about it, do it now. It is such a seller's market. Sellers are, I would tell them clean your house, clean, clean, clean. Fresh paint is great. Declutter, repair any, you know, known issues. But, you know, sellers right now are getting top dollar and they're paying very little.
Cool.
If your house is a, you know, 10 or whatever, it's going and you're getting what you want and you don't have to do a whole lot. I mean, my philosophy is for the seller to pay as little as they have to as far as, you know, getting your house ready. Do what needs to be done and repair any leaks or anything like that. Paint if you have time.
Sure.
Because fresh paint makes everything look good.
Absolutely.
But
And from the painting aspect, would you suggest kind of going just a neutral color, like a like an eggshell white or something like that?
And neutral.
Just, okay.
People like upgrades. That's what everybody wants to know. If you got a new listing coming, has it been updated? That if it has, that is just a 10.
Updated, okay? As in like what, appliances?
Yeah,
and paints
updated.
And, okay.
Countertops.
Okay.
They like the granite or the, you know, good countertops, stainless, good
bathrooms.
Flooring.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
You know, they want the nice floors.
Okay.
But if your house hasn't been updated, it's still selling for top dollar.
Sure, sure.
But, you know, if
you got these people coming in with cash, you know, like I said, again, California, New York market, you can cash out there and come here with a pocket full and you can buy some piece of crap deal and rent a house, you know, for cheap and redo that one kind of deal. So, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
What about the from a maybe not necessarily a house, but what about from a land standpoint? Just land as far as how that goes. And I just recently got appointed to the county BZA board, and I've had my first meeting. And a lot of the kind of the chatter there was some zoning variances, or there's a lot of people that were saying that these people from California are just getting online and buying damn property online without even having to come here to look at it, and then they want to build this extravagant house, but it's not you can't fit a square peg in a round hole kind of thing. There's some boxes that need to be checked, and Dixon, you know, just touting to them as being very cautious on these variances and you know, zoning ordinances of sorts and rezoning, just to make sure that what they do for one person they can continue to do down the line fairly to everybody else that's coming in from out of town, and they're not getting caught with their pants down, really, you know, playing favors for people. So are you seeing a lot of that as well too, as far as kind of you know, vacant land that's going up for sale and people wanting to buy houses on that as well?
Vacant land is selling too, like before, you know, when the market wasn't real good. Manufactured homes, land, even condos were not selling very well.
Right.
But now everything, land, we listed 40 acres, $160,000.
Wow.
Little Barton's Creek.
Cool.
Multiple offers.
Cool.
We had offers coming in sight unseen, you know, so it's people want land now more than ever.
And are they looking, obviously that land's going to come outside kind of the city limits. Do you see, I mean, where do you, is it an even mix as far as people that may want to just live downtown or just within the city limits, and then people that may want to get out more into the country?
Yeah, we have them all. They want downtown. Downtown's really big.
Cool.
People love downtown Dixon now with all that Main Street.
Yep.
And walking everywhere. So you've got your group of people that love that. And then you've got your people that want out, away
sure.
from everybody. They want a garden. They want to
sure.
do all that stuff now. So, I mean, you got to mix everybody. Wherever the house is, it's going to sell. Sure. I mean, I say I had a house listed last fall. We called it, it was an earth home.
Okay.
Okay. And it sold.
Wow.
So if, you know, everything's selling.
Sure. And are these people that are selling, are they just relocating into Dixon or are they getting out or a mix of that as well too? Okay.
That person was locating out.
Yes. She was selling.
A lot of people that we're seeing are people that want to be with their grandkids.
Oh, yeah.
Their kids moved and they're having grandkids and they want to go be with them.
Cool. Yeah. And
that's what we're seeing a lot of too.
Dixon's had, I mean, the baby boomer thing is a real thing, you know, in every single town. And so you're going to have this kind of shedding of these longtime Dixon people, just like you said, that may want to move to go wherever their grandkids are or peace out to Florida, you know, or move out of the country. You know, who knows, at that point. So, there's just going to be this kind of massive turnover, I feel, you know, as these older generations start to kind of rethink what they're going to do for the last part of their life as far as where they want to be. So hopefully, blessing and a curse, I guess, but hopefully that kind of movement will open up the market just a little bit on that one. So we've kind of gone up to recent and kind of what's going on. Where do you see kind of this going? Do you see it kind of continuing to be kind of a stiff market and kind of real condensed as far as availability? Or I know we were chatting on some developments that are potentially coming up or whatever it may be, or so a couple years down the road, or next couple months, it seems to be changing all the time. So where do you kind of see this going?
We need more houses.
Okay.
We need more developments. We got that new development with the 25 homes off of Eno. We just, people need more choices.
Sure.
You know, it's like right now, some people are just glad to have a home.
Sure.
You know, but people need more choices. I continue to see that we're going to continue to have low inventory because by the time those homes come, we're going to, it's hard with the new construction ones. They're selling as quick as they list them.
Sure.
So until we get more inventory, then I think it's going to stay the same. I do. And right now, one of the issues is we have a lot of people wanting to sell, but they are not moving out of the area.
Mm.
So they want to move up, and they're selling, and they can get top dollar, but they have to sell to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to buy at top dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a lot of people in that situation. And if you're in that situation, we can help.
Sure.
We work it out. I don't know how it works out every time,
mm-hmm.
but so far, knock on wood, every time it's worked out. They sold their house, they've bought one, and we've done the back-to-back closing. I'm not going to say it's not stressful, but absolutely, it can be done. We do it all the time. But that is one of the issues, is that there's a lot of people that would sell.
If they had somewhere to go.
They had another home they could buy.
So it's just this kind of catch 22 type deal.
Yeah.
Is you've got maybe local sellers that want to upgrade,
yes,
but they have nothing to upgrade to. Sure, yeah.
Those homes would be perfect for first time home buyers.
Absolutely, yeah.
But so we got that going on. But we got a situation now where we're going to list their house and they have to find one.
Sure.
And there are, it can be done. It's done all the time, but it is harder.
Sure.
But.
Yeah, and you're starting to see a lot of remodels kind of in the downtown area, the Main Street area, Rickard and Poplar and kind of all those houses. I think there was a house on Poplar the other day that went for $420. Yeah,
like
I mean,
that.
That's absolutely incredible right there. And, I really think that kind of obviously bodes well in Dixon's favor, but that plays off of, just like we said earlier, this Main Street activity that's going on. You know, I think that Main Street downtown specifically is kind of honed in on its aura, on kind of what it wants to be. Obviously, it's still kind of in formation, but people are walking downtown, and I keep referring back to yesterday's conversation with Kelly, but she's only lived here for 5 years, and that was her story as well too. She moved from North Carolina, and they had to buy a house within 2 days, or at least put an offer on one, and so they went to Columbia and didn't work out, and she said they went to House Blend and I want to move here. And that was it. And they ended up finding a place pretty quick and whatever it may be. It was a pretty interesting story. But But yeah, so I see kind of this bottleneck going on, and then also we're dealing with kind of a lot of commercial and industrial bottlenecks as well too, as far as kind of infrastructure and internet access and water availability and stuff like that as well too. So there's just whole kind of situation to really of no fault of anybody, but to the market, you know, and the demand really just in general, as far as kind of what's going on in the world and where people are coming from. So, I guess kind of to finish this off, like I said, we're going to try to just keep this brief and kind of update some people on some things. You know, when you're, partnering with a seller or dealing with a buyer or anything like that, you know, I've seen some chatter kind of going on as far as the real estate agent's role and what they go through. And, you know, maybe if you want to kind of just hash out a little bit, you know, a little peek behind the curtain as far as being a real estate agent and, you know, hopefully, you know, encourage some compassion into, your buyer or seller as far as what you've got to go through and maybe how they should act in the whole process in general.
I would say pick a realtor and stick with them. Don't call the sign and get that realtor to show you the home and then have another realtor show you another home. We do not get paid until you close on your home. So if we show you homes for 2 or 3 years, which I have shown people homes for that long, and you know, that's time that we spend, and our time is valuable too. So, you know, we may show somebody 2 or 3 days in a row, and then they may, that happens a lot with out-of-towners too. Mm-hmm. They don't know if they want to be here. We show them homes and, you know, clear our schedule for 3 days and go all over the world, and then, you know, they don't buy anything. And that is part of it. Absolutely. Then your next buyer looks at one home. And but I would say be loyal to your realtor. We work hard. We do a lot of things that people do not realize. We do a lot that is not our job, you know, because we care about our people. But get a realtor and stick with them. If you're not happy with your realtor, let them know. Don't go pick another realtor when this other realtor still thinks they're working with you. You know, treat people the way you would want to be treated.
Absolutely.
You know, so
you wouldn't want to be tossed around as somebody doing your job, you know, just somebody toying around with something. And I think that's kind of to the point, is a lot of people maybe don't fully conceptualize that real estate agents don't get paid until the paper's signed,
right?
You know, and the check clears the bank kind of deal. So they are hustling on their own dime and their own time for free most of the time. And you know, it can be a lengthy process, especially with the way the market is now. So, you know, these buyers or sellers have to be extra sensitive to you guys as well too, to kind of keep this process going as smoothly as possible, you know, until the things close, you know, whenever that may be. So,
and I will say, you know, I've talked to buyers before, and most realtors ask, are you working with another realtor? Mm-hmm. That is one of the first questions we ask.
Just so we don't, you know, step on each other's toes.
Too. Exactly.
Because a lot of people don't, like, they don't realize that they're, you know, only supposed to ask their realtor, or mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And then they don't even realize that they've already signed a buyer agreement with them. And really, they need to stay with them and not go ask opinions from. And that's not fair to whoever you're asking, too, because it's like, you don't want to take the time to do research for them if,
you you're know, kind of negating the whole process, you know?
Sure.
Well, and that's same with me as well, too. Like, people reach out to me for insurance. My first question is, you know, what's going on? You know, I'm not here to kind of, you know, play this pricing game, really. I'm going to give you a quality product. I'm going to work my ass off to make sure it's the way it needs to be. And I'm going to represent you the whole way and be there when you need me kind of thing. But if you're just playing this, who can cut the better deal or whatever it may be, I'm, you know, that's something that, you know, somebody else kind of really needs to maybe deal with on that, because,
sure.
you know, y'all have, everybody's got stuff to do, and you've got your mind's eye as far as the goals that you want to hit in 2021. You know, and toying around with these uncertain buyers or people that may not have pre-approved letters or whatever it may be, they haven't gotten themselves to the starting line of buying a house. You know, you're kind of wasting everybody's time at that point. And that's business, though, you know? I mean, that's telling people, like, for me, if somebody tells me that, like, boom, respect right off the bat, because it's like, that person's serious, that person knows what's up, you know, they're going to tell me the truth, they're not just going to toy around and blow smoke up my ass, really, just to kind of keep me going, and then, you know, they may or may not peace out, kind of thing. So, cool. Well, good. Do y'all have anything else you kind of want to plug in or say about, you know, what's going on and
what may need to happen? The market's hot. Market's hot, baby. If you're thinking about selling, cool. Call us.
Cool.
We'd be glad to talk to you. If you're thinking about selling, call a realtor. Of course, we want you to call us. But call, there's no, you don't have to sell.
Sure.
But, you know, they will run a market analysis for you and tell you what they think you can sell for.
Sure.
So I would so say, don't do for sale by owner.
Sure.
I can tell you some stories about a for sale by owner where he thought his house was only 1,500 square feet and he priced it that way, and his house was 1,586 square feet. So, you know, there's a lot of money they think they're saving by selling it themselves. But, and I know of another situation where they were buying a for sale by owner and they overpaid by $10,000 because it wasn't contingent on an appraisal.
Mm.
So, you know, I just...
You don't know what you don't know kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, there are people that can do for sale by owners, and they do fine, okay? But for the most part, get a professional.
Then they've got to deal with showing the house, too. Yes. I don't think a lot of people consider that.
Just answering questions, setting it up.
Like, and it's hard to negotiate for yourself.
Sure.
It is easier for me to negotiate for you than it is for me.
You know the tricks of the trade as well, too. You know the lingo and the verbiage and the options and whatever it may be.
Owners will tell on themselves, too, absolutely, or say too much or whatever. And
yeah, there's just a lot more to it, and for protection, too. Cool. You know, we have the forms.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of for sale by owner, it's like, do you have a contract?
Mm-hmm.
No. Do you have a disclosure on your property? No.
Right.
Okay, so, you know.
And they've got to do a title search as well, too, you know. I mean, there's just a lot to that process just in general that, you know, again, relating it back to what I know is that, you know, these online or insurtech places, people going and doing their own insurance, I get calls from that quite a bit of like, ooh, I screwed up, you know, duh.
The other thing about a for sale by owner is protection.
Mm-hmm.
So you just going to let people knock on your door and you're going to let them come on in? My mom and dad back, and this was a long, long time ago, but they had their home up for sale and they had a realtor before, you know, we had cell phones and stuff. They thought, knock at their door, and it was a couple with two kids, and my mom showed them the house because they were out of town and they had looked and didn't see. They had a story. Mom fell for it and they stole her purse. Sure did.
Oh my
goodness.
This
was in Hendersonville and the purse was found in Madison in a dumpster later. So, you know, like, you don't know who's coming in your house.
No.
And at least a realtor is with them.
Sure.
So, and most of us won't show without a pre-approval.
Sure.
Which means they've, you know, coughed up some info.
Sure.
You know, so that would be another thing, would be protection.
Yeah, it's a scary world out there. I mean, you never know. I wouldn't let some random people come gazing around my house. Who knows what's going to happen at that point.
Sure.
And when you put that sign up in the yard for whatever reason, people think it's free for all. They can walk around your property and look.
I'm sure you get a lot of calls from investors as well, too, that just lowball the hell out of the offer, you know, and you're having to deal with that on a daily basis as well, too.
You know, believe it or not, we don't get many lowball offers
right now.
So, I mean, we really don't. But, you know, and if somebody wants to write a lowball offer in this market, I highly discourage it.
Sure.
You know, kind
of cleans out I say trash. I mean, they may be well-intended and they're just trying to get, you know, the most bang for their buck. But
yeah, and I don't blame anybody. And we will always tell them, I will write any offer. It's up to you. But, you know, let's educate a little bit.
Sure.
And if you really want that house, don't make a lowball offer.
Sure.
Because most likely they're going to reject it and send it back, and then they're going to have a bad taste in their mouth.
Yeah.
And then if you write a reasonable offer, they're going to roll their eyes.
Sure.
So. Or I am.
Yeah, absolutely. You're like, oh God, here we go. Cool. Well, y'all want to plug your socials? Kind of how can people get in touch with you guys?
Oh, give us a call. 615-476-2879.
Cool. Got a Facebook?
Yep. Redbird Realty on Facebook, Instagram.
Ashley's got a TikTok.
Yep.
Ashley McBoy. Ashley McBoy's got a TikTok.
Justin Scarlock, you know, or me.
Well, that seems to be the kind of the way of the world is going now. You know, this, again, you're talking about buyer demands and houses and what they need per COVID, whatever. You know, a lot of this marketing stuff is obviously, you know, socially distanced or whatever it may be. This door knocking or whatever is kind of falling by the wayside seemingly. So you're seeing just this mass influx of just a huge amount of social media content coming out, and you know, whether people kind of understand what's going on or not, just really getting your face in front of, you know, potential clients just over and over and over and over and over again. You know, when they think of something, hopefully, you know, all that hard work going in on the back end kind of pays off, at least for that phone call for you to list the house. So cool. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you guys for taking the time and coming out today in this what looks to be is going to be a monsoon and some tornadoes.
Us.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, good. Thank you guys for listening again. This is going to be maybe a couple times a month, maybe once a month, just kind of depending on where I see the markets at and kind of where the chatter is going. And, you know, if I feel like there needs to be really an update on anything. So, again, check out Redbird Realty on Facebook or Instagram and Ashley McBoy on TikTok. And me at Your Vibes Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and yourvibespodcast.com. Please like, comment, and share. We love to hear y'all's feedback. And let us know if you guys want to hear anything else about the market. That way I can kind of get a vibe as far as, you know, we've got the agent standpoint. Would love to maybe hear some things from a buyer or a seller standpoint too. And I'm sure that, you know, I'll tag them in the post, and I'm sure they'd be more than happy to kind of really bounce back and forth on any questions that you may have. So once again, thank you all for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye.